Welcome to episode 426 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. This week, we are continuing our series 100 Days in the New Testament. When we first launched this series, we were concerned about truth and the trustworthiness of the scriptures. Let's revisit that today. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. The word canon comes from the rule of law that was used to determine if a book measured up to a standard. It is important to note that the writings of scripture were canonical at the moment they were written. Scripture was scripture when the pen touched the parchment. This is very important, because Christianity does not start by defining God or Jesus Christ or salvation. The basis of Christianity is found in the authority of Scripture. If we cannot identify what Scripture is, then we cannot properly distinguish any theological truth from error. What measure or standard was used to determine which books should be classified as Scripture? A key verse to understanding the process and purpose and perhaps the timing of the giving of Scripture is Jude 3, which states that a Christian's faith was once for all entrusted to the saints. Since our faith is defined by Scripture, Jude is essentially saying that Scripture was given once for the benefit of all Christians. It should be comforting to know that there are no hidden or lost manuscripts yet to be found. There are no secret books only familiar to a select few. And there are no people alive who have special revelation requiring us to trek up a Himalayan mountain in order to be enlightened. We can be confident that God has not left us without a witness. The same supernatural power God used to produce His Word has also been used to preserve it. Psalm 119 verse 160 states that the entirety of God's Word is truth. Starting with that premise, we can compare writings outside the accepted canon of Scripture to see if they meet the test. As an example, the Bible claims that Jesus Christ is God. Yet many extra-biblical texts claiming to be Scripture argue that Jesus is not God. When clear contradictions exist, the established Bible is to be trusted, leaving the others outside the sphere of Scripture. In the early centuries of the church, Christians were sometimes put to death for possessing copies of the Bible. Because of this persecution, the question soon came up, what books are worth dying for? Some books may have contained sayings of Jesus, but were they inspired, as stated in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16? Church councils played a role in publicly recognizing the canon of Scripture, but often an individual church or groups of churches recognized a book as inspired from its writing. Throughout the early centuries of the church, few books were ever disputed, and the list was basically settled by AD 303. When it came to the Old Testament, three important facts were considered. 1. The New Testament quotes from or alludes to every Old Testament book, but 2. 2. Jesus effectively endorsed the Hebrew canon in Matthew 23 verse 35. So all the righteous blood shed on the earth will be charged to you, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. Jesus here spoke of all the righteous martyrs of the Old Testament. Abel was the first, and in the way that the Hebrew Bible was arranged, Zechariah was the last. 2 Chronicles is the last book of the Hebrew Bible, and Zechariah's story is found in 2 Chronicles 24. 3. The Jews were meticulous in preserving the Old Testament scriptures, and they had few controversies over what parts belong or do not belong. The Roman Catholic Apocrypha did not measure up and fell outside the definition of Scripture and has never been accepted by the Jews. Most questions about which books belong in the Bible dealt with writings from the time of Christ and forward. Early church had some very specific criteria in order for books to be considered as part of the New Testament. These included, was the book written by someone who was an eyewitness of Jesus Christ? Did the book pass the truth test? That is, did it concur with other already agreed upon Scripture? The New Testament books they accepted back then have endured the test of time, and Christian orthodoxy has embraced these with little challenge for centuries. confidence in the acceptance of specific books dates back to the first century recipients who offered first-hand testimony as to their authority. Furthermore, the end-time subject matter of the Book of Revelation and the prohibition of adding to the words of the book in Revelation 22 verse 18 argue strongly that the canon was closed at the time of its writing, around AD 95. There is an important theological point that should not be missed. God has used his word for millennia for one primary purpose, to reveal himself and communicate to mankind. Ultimately, the church councils did not decide if a book was scripture. That was decided when the human author was chosen by God to write. In order to accomplish the end result, including the preservation of his word through the centuries, God guided the early church councils in their recognition of the canon. The acquisition of knowledge regarding such things as the true nature of God, the origin of the universe and life, the purpose and meaning of life, the wonders of salvation, and future events, including the destiny of mankind, are beyond the natural, observational, and scientific capacity of mankind. The already delivered Word of God, valued and personally applied by Christians for centuries, is sufficient to explain to us everything we need to know of Christ, and to teach us, correct us, and instruct us into all righteousness. But even if there is no hidden manuscript or new obscure guru from whom a select few can learn new truth, God's word remains dynamic and the Holy Spirit continually reveals new insights. Hebrews 4 verse 12, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." God's word diagnoses the condition of man with a surgeon's precision. It lays open the heart and accurately discerns spiritual health. It bears constant reminding that as we submit ourselves to the word of God, we do it for far, far more than intellectual knowledge or to learn Bible facts. We do it for the ministry of the word, because God meets us in his word and the Holy Spirit works powerfully through the word of God. This spiritual work of God's word goes far beyond the basic educational value of learning the Bible. In Matthew 8, we read that the word of God has healing power and the power to deliver from oppression. From the books of John and Ephesians, we learn that God's word cleans us. If we take heed according to God's word, our way will be cleansed. Matthew 4 verse 4 reminds us God's word imparts life. It is a continual source of life. Matthew 13 verse 23 tells us that when the word of God is heard and understood, it bears fruit. According to Luke 4 verse 36, the word of God has inherent power and authority against demonic powers. Jesus himself, his eternal person, is described as the word. When we are into the word of God, we are into Jesus. Hearing God's word is essential to eternal life. One cannot pass from death into life unless one hears the word of God. Father, help us to abide in your word, knowing that hearing the word builds faith and holding fast to the word is our assurance unto salvation. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.